have quite a few things to cover this beautiful evening, and I trust we're going to do as much as we can to achieve a few things. Hallelujah. Let's go into the word. Let's go in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive that there's clarity this evening. There is no confusion. There's no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of God's word. And we declare and decree this evening at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. Matthew's Gospel 19. Are you in Matthew's Gospel 19? Okay, so hold your hands in Matthew's Gospel 19. Let's see something quickly in 1 Corinthians 11. So you have how many fingers in your hand? How many fingers do you have? 10, right? Right, so use one finger to hold Matthew's Gospel 19 and use the second your second hand to go to 1 Corinthians 11. So 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 11. Look at 1 Corinthians 11, 11. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 11, 11. It says, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man. In the what? What do you have in your Bible? In the... So verse 11 says what? Nevertheless, you know, nevertheless, it means you can't start a thought that way. It means you must have gone, read previous chapters or verses. But for today, we will not do that because we want to have a particular line of thought today. So it says, nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. So it means that when we look in the Lord, we will see the man and the woman as a complete pair. Or look at verse 12. It says, for as the woman is of the man, verse 12 says, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. So it means that a complete pair would have the man and the woman. Look, so go to Matthew 19. Matthew's Gospel 19. I'm trying to see how well we can touch very important conversations in this series, but it just seems like there is still so much more we want to, you know, understand. You know, and we're dealing with the woman in Christ, and we've had so many biases about the conversation of the woman, especially in the church. You know, and we feel like there is the place of the woman has been relegated to the back. You know, and you know, a lot of times, a lot of people begin to feel like, I mean, we have the use of so many men in the Bible, very few women, and things like that. And so people also believe that God is a male gender. Believe that God is a male gender. Beautiful. So for you to believe that God is a male gender, it simply means you mean that God has taken a stand between the male and the female. So for him to be a male gender, it means that he has a bias. You cannot explain the bias away. Are we together? So, you know, a lot of times, some people think that when we say our Father which art in heaven, we're actually talking about God as a man. Are we here? Okay. We're in Matthew 19, right? Matthew 19. Look at Isaiah 66. Look at Isaiah 66. Or look at Isaiah 7 first. We're in Matthew 19. Don't forget that. Are you in Isaiah 7? We're looking at Isaiah 7, look at verse 14. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a what? A sign. Behold what? Behold, a virgin shall what? Shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. A virgin shall conceive. Now, you know, the word there, virgin, doesn't necessarily mean a lady who has not, I hope you know that, who has not known a man. No, as the one you don't know this evening. No. But you know, scholars make us see actually that the word there, virgin, is a word actually in the Hebrew used for a young woman, a maid, or someone who is at the stage of getting married. Or someone who is marriageable. not necessary. And I'm, this is not to say Mary was not a virgin. No, I didn't just say that. I just told you that scholars make us see that the word there, virgin, is not a woman who has not had an intercourse with a man. Yeah. So the promise says that a woman will, a young woman, so to say, will be with a child, and his name shall be Emmanuel. Now, the previous series we just finished from, we're able to see that that was a functional name. Are we together? Which will mean God with us. Are we together? So it means that God's promise will speak of a woman that will bring forth a what? A child, a son. Yeah, so when you go to Isaiah 9:6, it now tells you, for unto us a child is born and a son is given. Now, so the child born, the son given, the root will be a young woman that will bear a child. Are we here? A young woman, please don't lose me this evening, a woman will bear a child. So go to Isaiah 6:6. Why, Matthew 19, right? Yeah, so look at Isaiah 6:6. Isaiah 6:6, verse 7. It says, before she traveled, she what? She brought forth, before her pain came, she was delivered of a... Hold on, look at verse 8. Who had heard such a thing? Who had... Oh, look at verse 7. Verse 8 rather. Who had heard such a thing? Who had seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? Wait, so the child or the man-child in verse 7 that will be delivered is a what in verse 8? Look at it again. Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? So can you see the nation in verse 8 is the man-child in verse 7? Did you get that? Right? For as soon as what? Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. So the same Isaiah will tell you that the children which the Lord has given unto me, they are for what? Signs and wonders. The same Isaiah will tell you that a virgin, that is a young woman, will bear a child, and the name shall be what? Emmanuel. So in that child that the young lady will bring forth, will come a man child from Isaiah 66, which will be a nation. So who is that child? Who is that child? Who is that child? Jesus. So go back to Genesis 3. Genesis 3:16. Please follow me, okay? Genesis 3, verse what? 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy and thy. Are we here? Genesis 3:16. I will greatly multiply thy and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt what? And thy desire shall be to thy what? And it shall rule. So is that to a woman that shall bring forth a child? Okay, hold on. Genesis 4:1, we saw that on Sunday. Adam knew his wife, and they gave birth to Cain, right? Then Abel, then Seth. Now, do you remember in scriptures, we've talked about that Eve had thought that the promise of the child will be Cain. Then Cain disappointed. Then she thought it was... Then she thought it was who? Seth, right? Now, so... What was the woman supposedly expecting? A child. So it means that the child the woman will be expecting is a promised child. So where do you think you will find the promise before Genesis 4? You will find it before you. What, I just said it. You will find the promise before Genesis 4. What the woman is to be expecting. So Genesis 3:16. Okay, look at Genesis 3:15. Okay, or look at Genesis 3, verse 15. So, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy... Okay, we're in Matthew 19. Are we here? We are presently in where? So hold your hand, Genesis 3, and go to Galatians 3, okay? You have plenty of fingers in so many places. We've left Isaiah for now. Hallelujah. This Bible will explain it. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians. Go to Galatians. Look at Galatians chapter 3, or look at verse, look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. Are you there? So he says, the blessing of Abraham, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the what? Spirit. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth it. Verse 16, are you there? Now to Abraham and what? His seed, were they what? Now, the promise to Abraham, was that the promise to Adam and Eve? Lovely. So, it means if we find out what the promise to Abraham is, we'll find out what the promise to Adam is. Are you here? So, he now says, and look at verse 16, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said not unto seeds as of many, but as of what? One, to thy seed, which is? So, the seed promised to Abraham is equal to the seed promised to Adam, which is equal to? Christ Jesus. Now he now says, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years could not disannul it. Now, he now tells you something in chapter 4. So, it means we're in Genesis 3:16, by extension 15, where we saw the promise of the seed. Are we together? By extension Isaiah 66, the travail of the woman. By extension Isaiah 7, the young woman that will bear a child. Are you here? So look at Genesis and Galatians 4. Now, Galatians chapter 4 now tells you something. It says, tell me, verse 21, ye that desire, please don't lose track this evening, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Now look at verse 22. For it is written, Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondmaid and the other by the free woman. Now, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by. So the free woman by promise is equal to the same seed promised to Abraham, which is the same seed promised to Adam and Eve, right? Beautiful. So he now says, verse 24, can we read 24 together? What does he say? Which things are an allegory, for these are what? Two covenants. Now, the word allegory is a name of a figure of speech that speaks about a story that points to another story. So it means that when you hear Abraham had two sons, the story you should take from that story is not the story of Abraham's two sons. But let me say it this way. It means that the story of Abraham's two sons is a story pointing to another story. So it says, these are an allegory. So an allegory is a story that points to another story. So it means that in the story of Abraham that has two sons and many others, you will see emphasis on two sons to point to attention to another story. Did you get what I just said? So the story of Abraham's two sons, so the story of Abraham should not teach you how to sleep with your house girl when you are looking for a child. Right? The story of Abraham is to point your attention to a story. Paul is explaining. So he says, these things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants. So it means that when you hear Abraham had two sons, think of what? Two covenants. So he now says, one is from what? One is from Mount Sinai. Are you there? Which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. So we say Hagar is about Mount Sinai. Are we together? Is Hagar Mount Sinai? Was Hagar a rock? Was he a rock? Was she a rock? So Hagar will be a pointer to a conversation regarding Mount Sinai. He now says, verse 25, for this Hagar is what? In where? Is Hagar a rock in Arabia? Beautiful. He now says, an answerer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her. So there is a Jerusalem that is in bondage with her children. So the Jerusalem in the scriptures will be an allegory to point to another Jerusalem. Look at verse 26. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. But Jerusalem, which is above, is what? Is that heavenly Jerusalem? Is that Zion that traveleth? In where? That traveleth where? You are not ready. Okay, hold your hands in Galatians. Go back to Isaiah 66. Your fingers should be in all those pictures I told you to open. No. So go back to Isaiah 66. Are you there? Isaiah what? Are you there, please? Look at verse 8. Who had heard such a thing? Who had seen such a thing? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at what? Now we said the nation in verse 8 is the man in verse 7. Are we together? So he now says, for as soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth her children. So we said Jerusalem in Galatians 4 is Zion, and Zion has children that are what? Brought forth. So Zion is that. So will Zion there take a feminine conversation by saying brought forth? Is the feminine that will brought? Are you here? So go back to Galatians 4. So are you there? You didn't close it, right? Galatians 4:26. Are you here?
Yes, sir.
So let's read verse 26 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. Can we say Jerusalem into brackets? Zion having traveled. So read again. 1, 2, 3, go. Jerusalem, which is above, is free. Which is the mother of what? For it is written, rejoice thou barren, thou what? So rejoice thou barren is a conversation from the same book of Isaiah. So Zion will be the woman, or can we say Zion will be the God, that is the woman that travels and brings forth children. So go back to Genesis 3. So unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and conception. Is that travailing? The Bible is a crystal. So will that travail be about childbirth or menstrual cramp? Oh no, look at the verse 16 again. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth. Who is the in sorrow that will bring forth children? Zion in Isaiah 66. Are we together? So Zion will bring. Okay, let's leave this topic. Okay. You sound so interested. Wait, so okay, I'll teach you some other time. Yeah, I'll teach. Yeah, you're even saying no. Are you the pastor? Come and teach now. I'll teach some other time. Yeah, but the concept is this: Genesis 3:16 is not about what you go through every your menstrual cycle. No. So Zion is going to travel, right, in sorrow in the conception, and will bring forth what? Children. Is that going to be the nations of Isaiah 66? Is that going to be Jerusalem, the mother of us all? I just said all of that to say this. So is that God as Zion traveling and giving birth? So is our father our mother? So our father is our mother. So it means we will not see father from the concept of a male and mother from the concept of female. So is God a male or female? So God is that male that does the work of a female and gives birth to the what? Nation having what? Traveled. How did I get there today? So now, we start looking at the woman in Christ, right? Don't think about what I just said so much. No, but think about it now. Okay, I said let's think about it now. Genesis 3:16 talks about the woman traveling. And we said that now look at it. So that, what do you expect you are to get from the story of bring forth in Genesis 3:16? A child will come. Now, Eve would have thought the child was first who? Cain. Was that the child? So if Cain was not the child, and Eve gave birth to Cain and went through pain physically, it means that the promise is not about Cain, or about what you need to do to give birth to Cain physically. Did you get that? I'll say it one more time. If Genesis 3:15 says, thy seed shall bruise the head. Are we together? So the seed of the woman that will bruise the head, who is that? Jesus Christ, the same promise to Abraham. So how will Jesus be birthed, for instance? Or let me say, how will Jesus bring forth? Or how will Zion, or how will God bring forth, so to say? Right? Is it through the feminine process of reproduction? Beautiful. So you've established not this feminine system of reproduction. You've also established that the promise is not about physical or a man that is outside Christ, or it's the promise about Christ. So if the promise is about Christ, it means the conception and the travail will be about what God will do in the resurrection. Because the seed is the promise of Christ. Paul tells you, seed as of one, not as of many. So you see, book of Isaiah tells you that, can a mother forget a suckling child? And what did he now say next? Yes, but I will not forget. So that means God is the mother that doesn't forget us as children. Okay. That's why Philippians 2 will tell you that he was found as a man. So God took on the form of a man, not that he was a man. Come and pour water on me as we are here like this now. We cannot continue here. Now, let's look at a few examples. Let's go back to what is in my notes. Let's look at a few examples of what do you really expect that Paul will... It's looking like this. He doesn't want to leave me today, right? It's like someone did a special prayer today. What do you really expect that Paul will mean there's neither male nor female in... It cannot mean there's neither male nor female in a God who is male. Okay, let's go back to this note. So we're looking at examples of women in the Bible. You know, I might remove this from the teaching today. Let's pray again. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We agree and receive clarity this evening. There's no contradiction, there's no confusion. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word in Jesus' name. So Matthew 19. Yeah. I just gave you something to think about, right? Go to Matthew 19. But really, we did all of that to go back to Matthew 19. Matthew's Gospel 19. So we can say our father as well as say our mother. Okay, beautiful. Yeah, so look at Matthew 19. Lovely, 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 lovely. Remember, the Bible tells you that by his spirit, someone did a special prayer today. The Bible tells you that we have been washed by the what? By his spirit, right? Biologically, who do you think a child, or which of the father or mother does a child associate with water? Or does water associate with the child? The mother. Matthew 19. Let's just finish what? what I just started to do now, I might not finish until like 10 years' time. But, and it came to pass that Jesus had finished these sayings. He departed from Galilee, and he came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. Now the Pharisees came and said unto him, tempting him and saying, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered them and said, what? Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male? So we started looking at it on Sunday, that in God's image, in God's kingdom, God has a double agent, which is what? Male and female. So God created man in his own image, Christ, the image of Christ, in his image created he him, then in him created he them. So male and female are to be found in him, the image of God. Colossians 1:15 speaks about the image of the invisible God. Hebrews 1:1-3, we started on Sunday, and we also saw from the book of 2 Corinthians 4:3, 4:5, 6, right? So what is God's plan for the woman in Christ? We said something, Genesis 1:26, 27, 28, Bible now tells you, and God blessed them, is that male and female? Right? And he asked them, he blessed them and told them, be fruitful and what? Multiply. So the fruitfulness that a man will have is the same fruitfulness, or rather, the fruitfulness expected from a male man, remember Sunday, is the same fruitfulness expected from a female man or female woman. Are you here? Right? So he says, multiply and replenish the earth. So God's plan from time has been that all man, or the entirety of the earth, is found in his image. That's why you would now say the prophets will now say, the psalmist will say, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So God's plan wants the entire earth saved. God wants everyone saved, including male and female. Now we saw on Sunday that there's such a thing called ministry gifts. Are we together? Which are men, into brackets, male man and what? Female man. Right? So God blessed humanity in the real sense. God's blessing will be located or be found amongst those who are in the image of his son, that is in Christ Jesus. Are we together? So now let's pay a little attention to a few women, you know, across scriptures. Right? So look at Acts 2. Acts 2 quickly. Are you here? Acts 2:16. Acts chapter 2, verse 16. Let's try cover a few grounds this evening and see what the next few minutes or few days will say to us. Acts chapter 15, or chapter 2, verse 15. But this is that which was spoken by who? Prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says the Lord. Now, last days, will it be days that are yielding towards rapture? Okay. It will not be right. So are we in the last days? You see, I think so. So he's Alpha and Omega, right? That means beginning and end. That means the one that gave the promise and he fulfilled it. So are we in the day in which the promise has been fulfilled? Right? So this is the day the Lord has made, right? That day. So we are in the day that is dispensation. What do you think that day is? It's not the day of the fulfilled prophecy. That is the day of the fulfilled promise. What did you call it? Go back. You call it what? Call it something first. When I helped you to go to the second word, you called it Omega. And you called it end now. So I took you to Alpha, Omega, beginning, end. So if we are in the days of the prophecy that has been fulfilled, that is the Omega days, that is the end days, that is the last days. Is it about signs of people fighting? And no, is it about that? So we're in the last days, right? So how do we know we're in the last days? Because the promise of the Father from the beginning has been fulfilled. So we've been in the last days since the day of Paul, right? So nothing changed in the seasonal calendar of the world because one man took over power. I hope you get that. So in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon what? All flesh. He now qualifies what all flesh remain. He says, your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. So is the spirit for both sons and daughters? Are we here? So can sons prophesy? Will sons prophesy in the last days? Will daughters prophesy in the last days? We see an example in Isaiah, 1 Corinthians 14. It says, when a woman prophesies. Are we together? So your sons, your daughters shall what? Prophesy. Now, look at something. Now, I want to say something very important. This is another verse where you might easily think about how God is partial, because he says, your young men shall see vision. He didn't say young women. Are we here? He now says, your old men shall dream. What about the old women? Are we together? And what about the old women? Because he says, son. For son, you have young men, you have old men. For daughter, you're supposed to have what? Young women, old women. Yeah, so really, if you do a proper study, then you realize that the word there, young men, and the word there, old men, are similar to the word there, old man, or old men, is similar to what you call elders or pastors in the church. Are we together? Which will cover both gender. Yeah, or those that have oversight, so to say. Then the young men will be who? Hope you get that. But that's a lot I just said. Right? So your young men, you shall see vision. So young men will be into bracket male and female. Are you here? Yes, the old men will be into bracket what? Male and female ministry gifts. Or elders. So to say, they shall dream. He says, and my servants and on my maidens, I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall all prophesy. So God's plan from time is for a man and a woman to function in the gifts of the Spirit equally. So you don't have any superiority as a man to function more in the gift of the Spirit than a woman. And you as well don't have any superiority as a woman. So God is not gender biased in the pouring out of his spirit is for all flesh, male, female, young, old, all flesh. Now you will see that particularly in the examples of women that did strong and mighty things in the epistles. But let's do something quickly, right? Can we be faster a little now? Now look at book of 1 Kings 10. Let's see a few examples of women in scriptures that were in position of authority, both spiritually or let's say naturally. Look at 1 Kings 10, 13. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 13. Lovely. And King Solomon gave unto the queen of Sheba all her... Sheba, right? Whatsoever she asked, beside... What is wrong with all these believers? Do you understand why they're laughing? You can't. You don't. So it says, Queen of Sheba, all her desires, whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country. She had her servant. So from that, did you see that Sheba was actually a leader? For her to have a servant, it means she was a leader. Did Abraham have servants? Huh? Did Abraham have servants? Did Queen Sheba have servants? Lovely. Look at Acts 8. Acts 8, 27. So, Queen Sheba, was she a spiritual leader? Don't fall for it, though. Was she a spiritual leader? No. That was the natural leader. Look at Acts 8, 27. Are you there? And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under who? Candace, queen of the... So, did Ethiopia have a queen? Is that going to be a queen that is their natural leader? Beautiful. So, now we have seen two natural. Let's see a few supernatural in scriptures. Look at Exodus 15. Exodus 15, verse 20. Make sure you write all these things we are talking about. And I want you to listen to this teaching again and again. Exodus 15, verse 20. Acts 8, 27. 1 Kings 10, 13. Now, Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. Are you there? It says, and Miriam, the who? Prophetess. The sister, Exodus chapter 15, verse 20. The sister of who? So Aaron had a sister. Her name was Miriam, and she was a prophetess. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with what? Dances. And Miriam answered them, "Say, sing ye unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed what? Gloriously." Now, look at Numbers 12. Numbers 12, verse 1. Numbers 12, 1. Now, who wrote Exodus? Who wrote Exodus? Moses. Who wrote Numbers? Beautiful. So look at what Moses now says. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had. So he saw a beautiful Ethiopian woman and he married her. Lovely. Right? For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, had the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses, had he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Who is writing? Look at verse 6. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision. Now, hold on. Did Moses acknowledge that Miriam was a prophet? So when Moses says, if there's a prophet among you, would that be a prophet that will cover both male and female? Are we together? So it means you can call a female Miriam prophet. Why should you call male prophet, female prophetess, you can call Miriam a prophet Miriam. So when Moses will say that if there be a prophet, into bracket, male or female, amongst you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto, into bracket, him or in a what? Vision. I will speak unto him or in a dream. So Moses mentions Miriam, and that same, and in the same, in Moses' writing, he now mentions about a prophet. So it means that when you read the writings of Moses, when he gives you the criteria to know a true prophet, it will include both what? Male and female. Look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah 6:14. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 14. Are you there? Nehemiah 6, verse 14. Praise Jesus. Are you there? My God, think thou upon Tobiah and who? Sambalat, according to these their works, and on the prophetess who? Now, Nuadia, right? And the rest of the prophet that would have put me in fear. So we have an example of another prophetess. Who is who? Noah, there. We've seen who? Miriam. We are seeing Noah. Noah there, right? Look at Judges 4. Judges 4, 4. Judges chapter 4, verse 4. Judges 4, 4. Judges 4, 4. Remember, Moses will use the knowledge and the understanding of the people in their time to communicate certain truths to them. Okay. So, and Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidot. Is that Deborah? So we've seen who? Miriam, a prophetess. Noadiah, a prophetess. Who again is this? Deborah. Look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings 22, 14. Second Kings 22, verse 14 and 15. Are you there? Are you there? Can I read? Are you there? Now, so Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Ashia went on to Uzzah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikva, the son of Ahaz, keeper of the what? Wardrobe. Now she dwelt in where? Jerusalem, in the college, and they communed with her. So we've seen Uzzah the prophetess, Deborah the prophetess, Miriam the prophetess, and Noadiah the prophetess. You know Isaiah's wife was a prophetess as well. Look at Luke 2. Luke 2:36. This one will be easier for you to open now. When we're going to 1 Kings, Judges. You judge yourself. Look at Luke 2, verse 36. And there was one Hannah, a what? Prophetess, the daughter of what? Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. Look at verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, right? He now tells you in verse, then they took him up in his arms and blessed him and said, Lord, and Joseph went to his mother and marveled, right? And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary the mother, and behold, the child is for. Okay, verse 37. Look at 37 now. And she was a what? Widow. Who was she that was a widow? Anna, the daughter of what? Phanuel. So she was a widow of about how many scores? 84 years. That's how many years? 84 years old, right? Which departed not from the temple, but served God with what? Fastings and prayer, night and day. So we have Anna as an example of a prophetess who gave her devotion and her service to God. Are we together? Are we together? Now look at John 4. Are you in John 4, 6? Now, Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore being wearied, John 4, 6, right? Went with his journey rather, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of what? Samaria, to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Now, look at verse 8. One information you should not lose out. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to do what? Now, remember we said on Sunday, the reason why you see Jesus' ministry with his 12, predominantly men, is because of the kind of sacrifices that men will usually what? Make, as compared to women. Are we together? And that's what we're able to explain on Sunday, the men that used to wash car, while women wash plates, and cut, the men used to kill live chicken, women cook it and fry it, you know, and all those kinds of things. So the word that just put us in that bias. You're laughing at yourselves. So the reason why Jesus was alone here is because they went to go and buy meat. Now, so if you read on, you'll see the conversation. Look at verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the what? Saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that I ever So what did Jesus and the Samaritan woman, what happened to both of them? Jesus will, by word of knowledge, minister to her, right? And will tell her and supply the message of life, and she will be a preacher of the message of life. So a prophetess is one who will give God's word, or will give utterances with God's word, right? Is that the same as a preacher? Right? So we've seen Miriam, we've seen Deborah, we've seen Noadiah, we've seen Anna, we've seen Huldah, right? And we are seeing the Samaritan woman. Look at John 20. You'll see one more, very important now. John 20, verse 1. John 21. The first day of the week cometh Mary, who? Magdalene, early, when it was still dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she ran and cometh to Simon Peter and to the disciples whom Jesus loved, and said unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the... Now look at verse 18. Look at verse 16. It says, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say what? Master, teacher. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Now Mary Magdalene came and told disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. So we see Mary Magdalene, we see Hannah, we see the Samaritan woman. Now, one of the most important of them all is Mary Magdalene. So Jesus will bypass the tradition and appear to a woman first and ask the woman to go and preach to his 12 disciples that were always traveling with him. That's doctrinal to see. Are we together? Then he will ask them, go into the world and preach the gospel. Yeah, beginning at Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the what? Uttermost part of the earth. Praise Jesus. Look at the book of Acts. Look at Acts 1. So I'm trying to show you the numerous women in scriptures, across scriptures, a few of them, that were instrumental in God's plan, right? Hannah was one who found herself. Now, see, for the messenger that will visit Mary, we had an Anna behind closed door that was praying. Altogether. So for the angel Gabriel visited Mary, right? There was the Anna that was 84 years old, that was giving herself day and night to prayer. Are we together? Are we together? Praise Jesus. Look at Acts 1. Are you in Acts 1? Look at verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of disciples and said, Luke now gives you a very important information. The number of names together were about 120, right? Men and brethren, this scripture must need be what? Fulfilled. Now, if we go back to verse 14. This all continued with one accord in what? Prayer and supplication with the what? So, on the day of Pentecost, were there women there? Were there women there? So, when Peter will rise up and say, men and brethren, is it gender specific? Are you here? So it's not gender specific. So it says the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. And all of them together were 120. We looked at it on Sunday. Jesus had 3. He had 12. Then he had 70. Then he had what? 120 that attended the day of Pentecost. Right? And we're able to prove that there were some women that were his disciples. Praise God. Look at Acts 21. Are you in Acts 21? Look at verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came into where? Well, Acts 21. Are you there? Came into where? Caesarea. And we entered into the Philip the who? Which was one of the and abode with him. Now look at verse 9. 1, 2, 3, go. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did what? So Philip had four daughters that were prophets. Abby? Wait. When you prophesy, who are you? Wait. You know, the prophet is an office you step into. Are we together? To say what God will have you say
part time.
Are we together? So I can step into an office of a prophet, I step into an office of a pastor, I step into an office of an evangelist, and I step into an office of an apostle. If I feel apostle is the most unique one, I start adding apostle to my name. Right? So look at Acts 18. Now look at Acts 18, verse 2. And they found, look at verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to where? Corinth. And he found a certain Jew named who? Born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, which his wife was what? Priscilla. Now, why did they come into the city? Because the Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from where? Rome. Look at 26. And he began to speak boldly. Now look at verse 24. And a certain Jew named Apollos. Remember this man? We spoke about him on Sunday without going to his Bible verse. And a certain man named what? Born at where? Alexandria. An eloquent, mighty in the... So he can quote. You see, the scriptures are not given for quoting. However, we might quote while we explain scriptures. Yeah, Paul will tell you in 2 Timothy 3 verse 15, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God. They are profitable for what? Doctrine, that is teaching. For what again? Reproof, for correction, and for instruction. No quoting. But you can quote while teaching. So when they say, now let me ask you a question. When they say Apollos was mighty in scripture, is it sound doctrine or in quoting? You can quote. Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And Genesis 47, yeah. Go to, you can quote. That's beautiful. But hear what Aquila did to him. He was mighty in scripture and he came from Ephesus. Now, this man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. 26. And he began to speak boldly. So you can be eloquent and bold. Are we together? Okay. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Whom went Aquila and who? They did what? They heard what he was teaching. Are you checking your Bibles? Right? And they took him unto them, and they do what? They did what? They expounded unto him the way of the Lord more what? Perfectly. What was happening? Apollos was just landing, or just terrorizing people with scriptures. Yeah, Kalikian, Moloki, and Malishian. And these two disciples of Paul, remember, Paul will meet them in Acts 18. And he will stay with them because they were of the same what? Profession. They were all tent makers. Right? So they learned sound doctrine from Paul. Are we together? Then they will see a man and they will say, yes, this man has eloquence. He is bold, but he's talking in the nonsense. Right? So they will call him from the stage and put him in one side and expound unto him more accurately the word of truth. Are we together? So Priscilla Aquila. Now, we've looked at the book of Acts, looked at the four gospels. Have we seen women? Now, let's see epistles. Look at Romans 16. We finished Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We've done Acts. We are going to Romans 16. You know the interesting thing? Paul wants to wrap up his Roman letter, his letter to Rome. And he starts with a commendation about a woman. Can I start your Bible? He wants to round up his entire letter. You know, Romans is one of Paul's most, I don't want to use the word difficult, but let me say, it's one of Paul's most trickiest book. Romans is a very interesting book. Romans, you see, because it was making a very strong defense for the Christian faith. Very strong defense for the Christian faith. Kai. You know, it's the Romans you say the spirit helpeth our infirmity, for we don't know what we should pray as we ought to. He says the spirit helpeth our infirmity, for you know not what to say now when you pray or to pray about. Eh? Is it not Romans? I'll go to Romans 8. Romans 8, 26. Are you there? Likewise, the Spirit also helped. For we know not what we should. Mm-hmm. But the Spirit making intercession for us with what? Which cannot be. You know, this is where we used to take that scripture from. And when we are praying, God! That's groanings. They say groanings cannot be uttered. And you are uttering your groaning. Groaning that cannot be uttered. Supposed to be. That's groaning that cannot be uttered. So say for we don't know what to pray for. Like, go to if you go read the online prayer, we know what to pray for. Are we together? Eh? You say we don't know what to pray for. You know, you have so many means, you don't even know where to start from. Oh God, that's not the verse to use for it. Yeah, we know what to pray for. Paul has told us pray without ceasing. He told us to pray for men. Jesus said pray without ceasing. He showed us how to pray. Pray for men. We know what to pray for. Are we together? So likewise, the Spirit of God will pray for. We know what we should pray for. We've done a teaching on that. It's actually about the hope that we have from verse 24. Let me not go into that. Romans 16. But it's not about speaking in tongues, most importantly. It's just about the hope that we have in the resurrection morning, right? So our body is in collaboration, or the Spirit helped our body to actualize that. Beautiful. So Romans 16, verse 1. The first person he mentions is who? I commend you unto who? Phoebe. Our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at where? Sencria. Are we together? Now, it now says that you receive her in the Lord. Now, Paul uses that same receive. Hold your hands in Romans 6 and go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Philippians 2. Are we here? Look at Philippians 2 verse 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in what? And a fellow soldier, your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. 26, 29 now says what? Receive him therefore in the Lord. Now, who was Epaphroditus to Paul? A fellow soldier, one who labors with Paul. So what did he say about him? Receive him therefore in the Lord with all godliness. See verse 30. Because of what? Because of the work of Christ. Because for the work of Christ, he was near unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service towards what? Me. So Epaphroditus was a fellow soldier of Paul who labored in doctrine with Paul. Paul uses that same phrase, receive him in the Lord for Phoebe. That means Phoebe was not just taking care of toilets and washing the chairs. Phoebe was a fellow laborer with who? With Paul. Go back to Romans 16. Romans 16. So it says, receive her, I beseech you, I commend unto you, Phoebe, that you receive her in the Lord as becoming saints, that ye assist her in whatever business. So whatever business, is he selling of slippers? Is he selling of chin-chin? And Zobo? What business will he be? So when... What business was Epaphroditus doing with Paul? The business of labor in sound word and doctrine. In word and doctrine. So what business was Phoebe being commended about or commended regarding? The business of what? Sound doctrine. So Phoebe, can you say Phoebe was the pastor of the church of Sencria? The first person Paul mentioned. So how can Paul commend you or commend Phoebe unto an entire church? And he now says women should keep quiet. It means we need to check it well. He says, assist her in whatsoever business that she has need of you. For she had been a succorer of what? Many, and of myself also. So she has been a succorer just like Epaphroditus. Look at verse 3. The second name he mentions in Romans. The first two names are who? Feminine names. I mean, Priscilla is masculine. I just wanted to be sure. Greet who? This Priscilla and Aquila, were they the ones that expounded unto the eloquent Apollos? Lovely. You know, Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in what? Christ. That means they were notable in Paul's ministry. They were his helpers. He called them helpers. The same way you would call Timothy. Look at Philemon. Look at Philemon 1. Look at Philemon quickly. Are you Philemon 1? Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved, and fellow what? Laborer. Look at verse 2. And to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier. So he uses that for Epaphroditus, uses that for who again? For Phoebe. Now, in verse 4 of Romans 16, go back to Romans 15. Or go to 1 Thessalonians 3 2. 1 Thessalonians 3 2. My helpers. So he uses the word helpers there, Romans 16. Are you 1 Thessalonians 3? Look at 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Why are we reading like people that are not ministers? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Our fellow what? I'm just trying to show you that same word. That word he uses for fellow laborer for Philemon, uses it for who? Epaphroditus. Uses it for who again in 2 Thessalonians 3, 2? Timothy. I uses it for Priscilla and who? Aquila. Now look at that, go back to Romans 16. We're going to dwell a little there until we move forward. Romans 16. Are we here? Look at verse 7. Salute what? Andronicus. Are we there? And who? Junior. Is Junior a masculine? Oh, you don't know. Read it again. Look at this. Salute Andronicus, right? And Junior, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Actually, Junior is actually feminine, not masculine, right? Now, look at verse 12. Salute what? You know all the names. I'm just allowing you to pronounce it. it's a setup. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa. Okay, who labor in what? Those are actually feminine. Are we here? Who labor in what? In the Lord. Salute the beloved persons which labored much in the Lord. So he uses Tryphena and Tryphilus to speak about their labor, which is the same thing you see Paul speak about his fellow laborers like Timothy, Epaphroditus, Philemon, and who again? Priscilla, Aquila, by extension Phoebe, right? So it means that when you see Tryphena, she's not the one handling children's church. He's sending his greetings to them, or sending greetings regarding them, either anyhow, right? Because of their much labor in what? Sound doctrine. Look at Philippians 4:3. I'm busy, Philippians. So let me be sure. Philippians 4:3. I beseech. Are you there? Philippians 4:3. Look at verse. Verse 3 rather. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those. Is it your Bible? Help those what? Women which what? Did Paul have women who labored with him in doctrine? In the gospel? Okay. So he says, I entreat thee also that you, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, which Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Hallelujah. Look at 2 John 1. You know, for the past over close to 20 minutes now, we've just been looking at women in the Bible. Okay. So except the Bible is a confusing book, or we need to actually do a proper study on some of those texts that seems like women should keep short. What did I say should go to? 2 John. Look at 2 John quickly. 2 John chapter what? That's only one chapter, right? Now, he now says, verse 1, he says, the elder unto the, are you not there? The elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. So when he greets an elect lady and her children, who is he greeting? Our spiritual children. Are we together? Not our physical children, right? Because it says, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. So it means that the elder unto the lady that is a leader, a spiritual leader, and her spiritual children. So they are saying, listen to me, everyone. It means you can have spiritual father and have spiritual mother. Hello? Hello? It means there's something called Phoebe is a spiritual. Let's assume you want to say father. You must not see father from the male perspective. Are we here? Our father who art in heaven, our mother. We started it today, right? Yeah, she needs to keep. So you must not see father as the male species of the gender sector. So whilst you say, so you can look at a woman and say, she's my spiritual father. Are we together? You know, that's why I'm laughing. That's why you say sometimes when you see, let's be very careful. Right? So when you say, I'm a man of joy, half put on joy, don't go the it's because you are not well taught. That's why the first thing you want to say, I'm a woman of joy. You see, it not even enter the song. You see, it doesn't flow in the song. I'm a woman of joy. Half put on joy. No. Yeah. So you must understand that man will be a name or a figure that will speak about both genders in Christ Jesus. So why would the Bible use sons of God? Right? John 1 will tell you, for those of them who have believed, he has given them power to be son. Don't see son as a male gender. Are we together? You know, the word the son in the Hebrew, it just really speaks about one who receives an inheritance. Or who is qualified to receive the inheritance. That's both male and female. We are both qualified as both genders to receive the inheritance of God in the land that he promised, that is heavenly Jerusalem. Are we together? But you know, it must be easy. You say, I remember on Sunday, mommy wanted to end service. He said, what did he say? He said, I'm a woman in Christ. I'm a woman in Christ. Some of you men now just kept quiet. As if she was talking to the ladies. When they were saying man in Christ, any woman that skip by and say, why are you not obeying the pastor? Now they say you are a woman in Christ now. I was standing there, I was watching all your lips. I said, wow. Are we together? Right? So don't because you want to actually just make a point, now start changing all the men to women. All the quotation says, you say, for you have given us power to come sons, you have given us power to come daughters. Now they follow us. Be careful, just stay where you are. Are we together? Yeah, the reason we are doing this thing, see, you know, like we said over and over, the Bible is not without human bias. The Bible is not without human culture. Human culture has influenced a lot in the Bible. Are we together? Right? So I'm a man in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, we've seen, if you look at 1 Corinthians 19 of 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Are you 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19? The churches of Asia, I salute you. Aquila and Priscilla, I salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their. So Aquila and Priscilla were pastors of a church that were meeting in their. So that means churches can meet in the house. Are we together? Churches can meet in the house. Don't because your church is meeting in the house, call it fellowship. Or you call it cell group, a whole church with name. And you put international gospel behind it. call it cell. Look at 2 Timothy 4:19. A church in the house is not any different from a church that is meeting anywhere. Under the tree. Anyone? One that doesn't have signboard. Even ones that don't have logo. Come on, we don't believe in a church until you see their logo. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19. It says, salute Prisca and Aquila. So that Prisca and Aquila and the household of what? Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus, right? All together. That Prisca. Is it Prisca that's in your Bible? Is that Priscilla? And Aquila. Are we together? That coincidence cannot be too much. So, in the real sense, so it means that in the real sense, we've looked through scriptures, the epistles, we've seen the book of Acts, the four gospels, even the writings of the prophets and Moses, and we've seen women play major roles as prophets of God, as preachers of the gospel. Are we together? Now go to 1 Corinthians 14. let me help you. 1 Corinthians 14. Let's see if we can do justice to this today and continue some other time. 1 Corinthians 14, 34. So Paul, who writes a letter and rounds up that letter, his conclusion says, I commend unto you, Phoebe. I commend unto you, Phoebe, receive her in the Lord. I commend unto you, Aquila, Priscilla, receive them in the Lord. Junia, Trafina, right? He will now come to 1 Corinthians 14. He will now say, let 34? Let your woman keep what? Silence in the churches. That means Phoebe has no right to talk in the church at Sancra. Are we here? For it is not permitted unto them to speak. First of all, he's same writing. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. Go back to 1 Corinthians 11 quickly. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I would have you know that the head of every man is who? And the head of the woman is man. And the head of Christ is... Now he says, look at verse 4. Let's shoot together. 1, 2, 3, go. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoring his head. What should you see as a church in God's palace today? Man can pray and prophesy. Look at the next verse, 5. 1, 2, 3, go. But every woman that prayeth or prophesies with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head. What should you pay attention to in verse 5? A woman can pray and prophesy, not about the covering or the uncovering. Are we together? We'll explain that shortly, what Paul was teaching about covering of hair. Right? So he said, a woman can prophesy, but have your head covered. If you look at 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing of chapter 1, he has already told them that none of them, they came behind in what? In no gifts. All of them. That means they flowed in the things of the Spirit. Now look at 1 Corinthians 14, or verse 12. Look at chapter 12, verse 7. 12, 7. After I speak about diversity of gifts and operation and everything, 1 Corinthians 12, 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every to profit with that. Is it every male species? Remember, we've seen chapter 11 that says a woman can prophesy and a man can prophesy. So you read chapter 11, seeing a woman can prophesy. When you now get to chapter 12, talking about the gifts of the Spirit and prophecy is part of it, it means that prophecy will include what? Male and female. So, but every gift, right, but it says verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man. Is that into bracket male man, female man? Is that into bracket male woman, female woman? Beautiful, right? To profit with her. So, when you now go at chapter 14, look at chapter 14. He now tells you in chapter 14, he says, chapter 14, he says, verse 2, for he that speaketh in a no tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, how be it in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. Now look at verse, look at verse 28. Now look at 26. Are you in 26? 1 Corinthians 14, 26. How is it then, brethren, what is the word brethren? Adel force, that is A and Del force, that is of the same womb, right? So of the same womb, is that Zion that traveleth and bringeth forth her children? Are we together, right? Is that the Jerusalem that is the mother of us all? You are saying yes, you are never around, you are saying yes. What you not understand, we are late. Praise God. You say yes. Yes. Please, how is it then, brethren? The word there, brethren, is the word Adel. Adel what? Adel force. And it's both male and female. Say yes. When ye come together, that is Adel force, right? Every one of you, is that male and female? Hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto what? Edifying. Now, it now says in verse 28, if there be no what? Interpreter, let him what? Let him keep silence in the church. But Paul says that everyone will come to church and everybody has a doctrine, has a psalm, had a revelation, had a psalm and all of that. So he now says, let him keep quiet. Now the next word you see in your Bible is the word what? The word, not sentence, word. Right? GP. And. Right? So, if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him what? Speak to himself and to God. So the word there and is the word kai, which is that is, which is I mean. So keep silence doesn't mean keep short, but reduce your volume so that there can be order amongst the brethren. So verse 2 tells you that when you speak in tongues, you speak unto God. So when you speak in tongues, so look at it this way. If we're in church right now, and I'm giving an utterance, right, and all of you are to keep silence according to Paul, what are you supposed to do? You speak in tongues under your breath in a way that you don't distract others from listening to the utterances I'm giving. That's how Paul teaches to keep silence. So when he now says that you should keep silence, so it means that if he starts that conversation of keeping silence in verse 28, when he now says, let women keep silence, it cannot be let women keep short. Because his first use of silence already negates keeping quiet, what? Totally. Are we together? Are we together? So, go back to if you go to 21, he says, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people. Now, remember we did a study on this. In the law, where we trace this scripture, where did we get it from? Isaiah. Right? So it means that the law is not about Moses. So the law can be used for both Isaiah and the writings of Moses and the writings of Moses and the prophet, or the writings of the prophet. So when he says, in the law it is written, with men of their tongues and of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto these people, and yet for all that will they not hear me, says the Lord. So that law is from Isaiah 28. And we saw that also in the writings of the prophets, by extension Moses, we see the likes of Deborah that spoke publicly. Now, go back to 34. I took you to 21 to see something. He says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to what? Speak. But they are commanded to be under what? Obedience, as also says the law. So also says the law. Would that be inclusive of Moses and the prophet? Now, we started this teaching by going to Moses and the prophet to see an example of people who spoke. From Moses' explanation, you see an example of a prophetess called Miriam. We saw another prophetess called Deborah. We saw another prophetess called Huda. We have Noadiah. And we have who again? Isaiah's wife. We saw who again? Queen of Sheba. Okay, that was for natural things. Right? So, we've seen. So, when he says according to the law, it means we need to pay attention to it properly. So, verse 34 of 1 Corinthians 40 is actually explaining verse 35. And if they will learn anything. So, who are the day that will learn anything? It will be women that were to keep silence in verse 34. So if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. So it means that those women to keep silence will have what? Husbands. So it means that we're not talking about women in the entire church, but women that have what? Husbands. Are we here? So let your women keep silence. So think about it this way. Imagine, we have women in church, not everybody is married. So if I say, let women keep silence, that instruction excludes those who don't have husbands. So the word there, woman, is the Greek word, write this down, G-U-N-E. And it's a word that is used for women, wives, women generally, maybe young ladies or wives or what have you. So, the context in which it is used now determines how to place emphasis on the word. So, a good way to read verse 34, would that be let your wives? So, what are the wives to do? They are to keep silent. Remember, women can talk in the church. That includes wives. So, to mean what they are to keep silence about will be matters that should be solved in the matrimonial home. Did you get that? We've looked at how women talk in the church. They prophesy. 1 Corinthians 11. When a woman prays and what? Prophesies. Think about it now. It's not about women just come and just say, keep quiet. I mean, they just be blowing breeze. When they blow two, it's thank you, I'm fine, thank you. When they flow three, I'm fine, thank you, and you. No. So it means that when women come to church, the woman he was speaking about, the silence will be in regards to a conversation that ought not to be tackled in the church. So where should that conversation be had? Outside the church. How? By having the conversation with their husbands. So when they're in the church, they can flow in the things of the Spirit. Are we here? They can give expression to the Spirit of God in them. They can talk by tongues and interpretation. They can have a doctrine. They can have a psalm. They can bring edification to the fellow saints, to brethren. Are you here? So the keeping silence there will not be an outright shut up, because Priscilla will not therefore be permitted to talk among saints. Imagine Phoebe not being able to talk to the church, to our members. Imagine the elect lady of Second John and her spiritual children. Imagine she was inside out. Do you get that? So Paul, who acknowledges primarily or to a large extent the ministry of women who labored with him. Now, mind you, he didn't express this woman to us as people who were just carrying his Bible and following him or doing welfare. Are we here? You know, Phoebe was always just following me. Anytime I'm just hungry, she was just cooking on me. No. He says, receive her in the Lord. That same phrase, using it for other men who labored in sound doctrine with him. Hallelujah. So that instruction is particular to wives in the local assembly. Remember, Corinth was a conference town that had so many people from different parts of the world. That's why they started having doctrinal conversations. Some will say, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. Right? But Paul will now say what? It is the Lord that what? It is the what? Hey? GP. The Lord that brings increase. Now, this is the Lord that planted. Dear saints. So, look at how Paul speaks to wives of other churches. Look at Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your... So, what is Paul teaching in 1 Corinthians 14? Submission to... Let me say this way. Paul is teaching submission of wives to husbands. When it goes to Ephesians, what does he say? Wife, submit to your husbands, and he expects they understand. Colossians 3:18. So, Paul teaches submission to authorities as well. Colossians 3:18, quickly. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit. In the what? In the Lord. In the Lord. In the Lord. So it means that, go to 1 Corinthians 13. If you look at your verse 34, it says, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but to be under what? Are you there? 1 Corinthians 14. If you have a good Bible, you see that the word they are commanded is in what? It's in italics, right? So it's not there. So it means that, how can you read that? Let your wives keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but to be under. Is that submission? Is that subjection? As also, where did the practice of submission and subjection start from? The law. That's why it tells you, as it is what? As also said the law. And if they will learn, let them ask. Now, we saw that Jesus had disciples who were learning while he taught other men. We saw that Jesus had female disciples who were learning with other men when he was teaching them. So the Bible cannot contradict. So when he says, let them learn in silence, it is not about doctrine, but about sensitive conversation that's sorted in the marital front. So he says, and if they will learn, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame. Abba, Abba. It is a shame for what? Women to speak in the church. So what is Paul teaching? Paul is teaching about that conversation, teaching about submission to husbands. Paul is teaching or using silence on certain conversations, you know, to address certain, you know, I was saying it sometimes. So for instance, you can be in the church, for instance, we have open believers meeting. You and your husband, you were fighting before you came to church. And you now, as a woman, you just come to the altar and take the mic. Praise God. You now talk tongues. When you talk tongues, I do not say interpretation. Your tongue is real. I hope you know. Tongues is not fake. Tongues is not fake for the believer. Right? So you don't talk. If Rosie Pacani Bosch get about. For I see. And I see a man. A man who stands under a tree while things fall from the tree. And I see that he ought to use a basket to pick the fruit and bring to the house. But he despises both the fruit and the house. You are just trying to talk to your husband that he's not being responsible. He despises both the fruit. That means he doesn't put food on the table in the house. So he despises both the fruit and the house. Out together. So, you know, you know, in this experience, you have to be very sincere and genuine. Out together. And that's why you have to just believe the best of people. But Corinth, in fact, let me tell you something. The women in Corinth were very, 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 very troublesome. That is why Paul will teach submission to them using covering of hair and scarf. We'll get there in some other teaching. I thought I would get there today. Right? So Paul will teach about covering of hair. He will now say, if you don't cover your hair, you are dishonoring your husband. Think about it. We have a religion today that their wives ought to cover their hair when they go out. Is that not true? Don't you have friends who always cover their hair? Right? Is that a culture? So that's why Paul will now end that conversation in verse 16. He says, there is no custom like this in any of the other churches. So it was unique to the Corinthian women because of their approach to ministry and their approach to the things of God amidst the saints. So let your wives keep quiet, not about every conversation. Certain conversations that ought to be tackled where? Outside the church with your husbands. Praise God. Praise God. I'll close here. Look at Matthew 28. Remember, Paul in 1 Corinthians 16 sends regards from Priscilla and Aquila, or sends regards to Priscilla and Aquila, Acts 16, right? 1 Corinthians 16, we just saw that today. Right? So he could, and he said, see what he says though. He says, greet Priscilla and Aquila and the church that is in their house. Was Priscilla a woman? For him to ask, do you think Paul will associate Priscilla to Aquila because she is Aquila's wife? No, Priscilla was active in ministry. So it means that in the church that was in the house of Priscilla and Aquila, there will be days where Priscilla will hold the microphone and preach. So you can't read two chapters before then and say women should keep short. So what do you expect from an Aquila and Priscilla in the local assembly? Conversations that are natural or conversations that ought not to be tackled amongst the brethren should be taken out of the church to be tackled. So let Priscilla keep silent in the church. Is that doctrine? Is that tongues? Is that revelation? Is that interpretation? No. Right? Let her what? Ask. We'll look at that from Numbers chapter 1 when Moses starts writing about that. Right? So the woman there in 1 Corinthians 14, this is going to help us understand 1 Corinthians 11, 1 Timothy chapter 11. Chapter 2, rather. Chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. When it says, let your woman, right? Look at it. Right? Matthew 28. Just hold on in Matthew 28. I go 1 Timothy 2. Are you learning something? So, the place of the woman in the body of Christ is not an afterthought of God. God from the beginning, right? Bible tells you in Matthew 19, he says, have you not read, he who made them at the beginning, made them what? Male and female. Look at 1 Timothy 2. He now says, let the woman learn in silence with all what? Subjection. But I suffer not the woman to what? Teach. Does that negate who Aquila, Priscilla was? Does that negate who Phoebe was? So if Paul tells Timothy, I don't allow a woman to teach, it means that Phoebe ought not to teach. It means that Trefina ought not to teach. It means that Junia ought not to teach. It means that Priscilla ought not to teach. It means that Hannah ought not to pray in the church, in the temple. Did you get that? So it means that when I see verse 12, it says, but I suffer not the woman to teach in verse 12, not to what? A sub authority over the man, but to be in. So which woman would that be? The woman that is what? Married. In all conversations or certain conversations? Certain conversations. So Matthew 28. You know, if you go back to the previous verse, when it says, in like manner also, that woman adorn thyself in modest apparel. You know, it's not talking about length of trouser. A length of skirt. You know, Paul is not teaching about dress code here. Same thing he wasn't teaching when he gets to First and Second Timothy, when he talks about that scripture where he's talking about seducing spirits. Yeah, in chapter 4. Right? Look at chapter 4. Now the spirit speaketh especially that in the last time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit, that is the what? Doctrines of the so seducing spirit is not women who wear short skirt and go and sit in front of pastor. That's not what Timothy Paul was addressing to Timothy. And I hope you also know that when he says in chapter, that same chapter, when he now says, verse 8, yeah, go there, verse 8. What does he say in verse 8? For bodily exercise profited. I hope you know he's not talking about workout in the gym. I hope you know that. I say, let me just end this teaching here. For you say no, that's good though. Thank God you even admitted, and some people that are just laughing as if they knew. Verse 8 says, for bodily exercise profited little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of a life that is now and of that which is to come. So if we, I just showed you seducing spirit, not about what the man, average man expects it to be. Bodily exercise, not what the average man expects it to be. Woman keeping silent, not what the average man expects it to be. Are we together? So Matthew 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, now the them Jesus came and spoke unto them, is that male and female? Yes. Now, go ye into the world. So how many would that be? How many people were there? 120, according to Luke's account in Acts chapter 1. Go ye into the world, and what? Teach all power is given unto me in heaven, and I go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Ghost, teaching them to observe all things that are commanded. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end. Who are the people that God is with all through? The male and the female gender. Hallelujah. Have you learned something today?